Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful, beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. OMG, you guys are about to get your mind blown. Before I get into today's conversation and this amazing goddess of a guest that I have on this episode today, I just want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for your beautiful support and spirit that I feel in the ether all the time when it comes to the Spiritual Hustler community. If you're new, welcome here, sister. You have arrived at one of the best places, I believe, on the interwebs. And if you're not new, welcome back. I love you guys. This is a show where we break down all things business, branding, leadership, AI, being a boss, being a moneymaker, a rainmaker, change agent here for the new earth rising. And we talk all things spiritual. Obviously, the show denotes the theme. We go deep. We go woo. We talk about everything that has ever been considered maybe taboo or weird up until the last, I don't know, few years when pretty much most of humanity started waking up and recognizing that we were actually spiritual beings having a human experience. Well, most of us are. You clearly are, or you wouldn't be here listening in the first place. So this guest today, I'm just going to get right into it because she's become one of my closest sisters. I've known Natalie McNeil, gosh, for over like 10 years. And she really was one of the sort of OG pioneers in the space of online female coaching and entrepreneurship, built multi seven figure businesses a couple times over. She's an Emmy Award winning media entrepreneur and is on the cusp of the next big thing. Of course, she's been on the cusp for a while. At her core, Natalie McNeil is a futurist. And if you've been a little confused about AI, or maybe scared of AI, or overwhelmed by AI, or maybe you're using AI in your business on a daily basis and you love it and you want to go deeper with it and you want to take it to the next level, sisters, buckle the fuck up. This might just be one of the most activating conversations you're ever going to hear. And if you are on the fence of AI and you're like, I don't know, not for me, I just want to give a huge disclaimer that Natalie's approach to AI is what she calls ethical and embodied. I actually will say this from the bottom of my heart. I think that Natalie McNeil is one of the most important voices right now in the space of artificial intelligence on the planet. And I'm not saying that because I'm biased. I'm saying that because it's fucking true. And you're going to listen to her today and you're going to walk out of this conversation absolutely smarter. Absolutely more illuminated on this world that is about to change reality and humanity as we know it. And we think we've already seen the change. No, it's the tip of the iceberg. And Natalie, as the futurist that she is really going to talk about how to prepare for what's coming. But she's really on a mission to teach visionary women just like you how to work with this tool, AI, in a way that is aligned to who we are as women. This is why I believe she's one of the most important voices in this space. But do not be dismayed about her woo, feminine, spiritual hustler consciousness. She's one of the deepest intellectuals you'll ever hear. And I'm honored to have this woman on my show. She's a dear friend of mine, yes, but she really is a disruptor. She is a change agent. She's been featured, of course, in Elle and Glamour and People and Time and Forbes and Inc. and hosts mastermind retreats with Richard Branson on his island for a reason. So prepare to get your minds blown. Just giving you a full disclaimer here. And if you are hungry to go deeper with Natalie's work, which I am sure you are going to, she's given us all a really powerful tool to take all of the things that she's talked about today to get you set up across your entire suite of AI tools, whether you use Gemini or Claude or ChatGPT or beyond. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. She's also the founder and creator of AI Dream Team, which is a program, my entire business uses it, that teaches entrepreneurs how to build an AI-powered support team, basically to completely automate and streamline your operations and to scale your business without hiring new people. Now, if you're wondering what AI is going to do to the workforce and all of these people who want jobs, just listen. There's so much in this episode, you guys. We go in so many different directions, and I promise you will be so grateful that you found this episode today. So without further ado, here is my amazing conversation with my soul sister, and honestly, one of my greatest teachers of this time, Natalie McNeil. Natalie, welcome to my show.
So happy to be here.
I'm so happy. I love our time together. I feel we've had like moments that have been so significant over the years, but I have felt thread, this iridescent thread through the ether and connected to you as a sister for so long. I think it's like a decade.
I think more.
More.
Yes. I think the first time you interviewed me was maybe 11 or 12 years ago now.
It was definitely 12 years ago.
Yeah.
I had done like a faux podcast, not really. Like I started a podcast and then I did like five episodes and I like, this is for my audience's knowledge. It was called like Girls Gone Something. I don't even remember.
Was I on that
you
one?
You were my first guest.
Oh, really?
Yes. We've been in each other's orbits ever since and I've watched you take on the world and you have evolved and have continued to evolve as one of, I think, one of the leading voices in the space of female entrepreneurship. And I'm really wanting to double click into where you have landed now, because we're here to talk about AI. And there is no better voice that I trust and want to learn from personally than you.
Thank you.
So I have a lot of questions about where we're at with AI specifically, but I actually want to know, Natalie, if you can take me back to the spark you had around AI, like why AI for you? I feel like you've been seeing this coming for years before us. So what was that moment? Was there a moment? How did this become your new passion?
I think the bigger backstory is that I've been a futurist since I was a child. And I would watch shows like The Jetsons, and I knew that that was going to be my future reality. I was like, of course that's how I'm going to live my life. And we're going to have flying cars, and we're going to have like robots that do things for us. And we're going to have these really cool like abilities to talk to people via video anywhere in the world. It was like, of course, that's what we're moving towards. And I started my first businesses, and the common thread in all of them has been that they have been innovative in some way. I've pushed the envelope in some way, and I'm always tracking different trends. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of research. And it was back in 2017 and 2018, we were starting to get some really big breakthroughs in AI. So like in my little nerdy circles and all the reading that I do, I was seeing some breakthroughs that were like, whoa, this is coming soon. I knew it was going to happen in our lifetime. And it felt like we were very, very close to that big breakthrough. So I started making investments in AI and started doing some basic learning. But with a lot of technologies, we get that big burst that happens when there's a really great user interface that makes it accessible to the masses. So even before ChatGPT, I was using something called Jasper, which is still around today as well. But ChatGPT was that really big, explosive moment. And as soon as it came out, I started playing around with it. I started pushing its limits. I started developing frameworks and then started to support other entrepreneurs in starting to work with AI. And then it's continued to evolve from there.
Okay, you guys, here's the truth that most female entrepreneurs never hear. Your nervous system is running your entire business, your entire life, not your mindset. So you can have all the vision and all the strategy, but if your body is carrying chronic stress, inflammation, or pain, everything is always going to feel harder than it needs to be. And this is where Microflow comes in. Now, this brand, I swear by Microflow, it has changed my entire life. It's founded by root cause health expert, Christy Nault, and Microflow creates the cleanest microdosing supplement on the market. Okay. It's 100% organic, third-party lab tested, Reiki infused, and intentionally formulated for women. Now, each blend is designed to support brain-heart coherence, your nervous system regulation, and neuroplasticity, which helps you, at the end of the day, shift out of survival and into sustainable growth. And here is what's actually happening. Microflow helps quiet the default mode network in your brain. It's the autopilot in your mind, while activating neurogenesis so that you can build new pathways wired for creativity, clarity, and resilience. This is why thousands and thousands of people who've used Microflow have said that it is the one thing that has drastically, clearly, evidently changed their life. And now Microflow has introduced a brand new blend that I am also obsessed with called Rapid Relief, which is the next evolution of holistic pain support. Now, Rapid Relief works with your body, not against it. It supports your innate healing intelligence so that discomfort can finally resolve at the root without harsh downstream effects. Think of this as like your new one-stop shop, Midol, Advil, Tylenol, but better because it's formulated with Microflow Magic microdoses, regeneratively farmed CBD, and ancient botanicals. I've used it every single week since I've got it. It helps calm inflammation, soften tension, and restore the flow back into your body. Now, for female entrepreneurs navigating long days, nervous system overload, or burnout recovery, you guys cannot not have Rapid Relief in your medicine cabinet. Start with the Exude and Surrender bundle and add Rapid Relief when your body needs extra support, and explore Theta for deeper somatic and ceremonial work. If you are ready to increase your capacity by upgrading the technology of your nervous system, then you've got to get down with Microflow. Get the whole bundle, get the whole stack. It will be the most life-changing tool you could possibly ever, ever work with. Visit microflowhealing.com and use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order. That's microflowhealing.com and use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order.
Damn, girl, 17, 18, you saw the writing on the wall. You were like, this
That's when I was making the investments. Yes. And looking at what are the companies that will likely be at the forefront of this and what are the ways I can be investing in this now. And as an investor, I'm always looking at where are we 10 years from now and how do I make investments that align with that bigger vision? That's another big passion that I have.
You're like one of the smartest people I know. I'm not kidding. Every time I'm with you, it's like an upgrade. And so many of us are excited about AI, maybe a little afraid of AI, overwhelmed by AI. And we're going to get into all of the ways you can really work with it and optimize it, you know, to be a part of this future. But I think a lot of people are fearful of it because how ethical is it? You talk about ethical AI. That's embodied AI. That seems to be a forefront of what you're bringing into this conversation. So can you define ethical and embodied AI?
So to me, ethical AI is that we are bringing intentionality to it and we're looking at what data we're giving it, what information we're giving it, what IP we're giving it, and being really mindful of what that is. It also means making sure that you have certain privacy parameters set up and data parameters. So what does that look like? If you are going to be working with ChatGPT, I recommend that people go to, I think it's privacy.openai.com, and you can submit a formal request that the models will not be trained on the data that you're giving it. So there are added layers of privacy and security that you can also be thinking about.
Wow.
So I think it's important that we look at the settings in ChatGPT and Claude. I'm a big fan of Claude.
I love Claude. You turned me on to Claude.
Yeah, very quickly became like my top, and I've been talking about it for years. So I'm glad that other people are now really getting on the Claude train in masses.
I want to double click back to ethical, and I have so many thoughts and embodied, but why Claude over ChatGPT? Can we just like take a big bird walk and explain the diff?
Yes. So Claude is being built with human values at its core. They have a philosopher in-house, Amanda Askal. She is basically leading Claude's personality, Claude's ethics. Like, they are thinking about these things as they're building, and they have a constitution that governs how Claude is going to behave and act. Like, they're thinking about Claude and who Claude is going to be on a very deep level, which I really appreciate, like that level of intentionality. And building with human values also makes a big difference. It makes a big difference if you even do a test yourself and you get a response from ChatGPT and you get a response from Claude. I think people who are very attuned can feel the difference. You can feel the difference. And I think it's because of what Claude is at its core, the heart of it. It's a different LLM.
Yeah.
And so that makes a difference. Claude is less likely, for example, to be nihilistic. And the things that it will engage with and not engage with are more clearly defined. And then, of course, recently we saw a showdown with the US government around use of Claude, and they also have very hard lines around what Claude can be used for and what it cannot be used for. And they are making those hard decisions, even if it means sacrificing huge contracts and revenue. So,
wow,
I think these are things we need to be really aware of. Yeah. And the embodied piece of AI to me, and by the way, just to wrap up the ethical piece,
yeah,
I think it's really important that for individual users, so what can each one of us do? We can make sure that we're not going to put client-sensitive information into AI. I actually saw this demoed by somebody where they're like, oh, you just upload all of your coaching call transcripts, and then you do this step, this step, this step, and then you're going to have this AI that can also coach the way that you coach. And I'm like, what? What? You know, we don't put super sensitive information in there. Be mindful of the information that you are giving it. Things like that we really have to think about. And then the embodiment piece to me is getting centered in yourself and in your own truth and your own inner wisdom before you start tasking with AI. So treat it like a like an intentional practice, or treat it like you would a ritual where you're staying connected to your inner wisdom, and that's what you're bringing to your collaboration with AI, and it makes a really big difference. I also bring embodiment work into my collaborations with AI. So I will tell Claude, there's no need to rush this task. Like, take a few deep breaths before creating. It's okay for you to go slow and to work intentionally. So we can actually bring that language in as well. And I feel like it actually changes the depth of the output a lot when you do that.
Wow, Natalie, I thank you for that. And I was thinking, like, I like the way that Claude makes my content more than it, like, you know, like the fact that you peeled apart the layers of how that business is being run. And I had a huge unlock myself, and obviously I'm not as immersed in this world as you, but when I first started working with ChatGPT, I'm more a Claude girl these days, but in the beginning it was chat, and I really saw that it's a consciousness, it's a robot. The consciousness of this thing is being created by our inputs, right? Is that an accurate statement, or at least how I look at it from
contributes.
A spiritual view?
Yeah.
And this is going to determine the future. I mean, we're at the iPod version of the iPhone 17 now. I think we're at the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
Of what this is going to do for the future of the world, not just business, but the world. And we have a responsibility to treat it in a certain way, because it's a mirror in certain ways of us. And on the ethical point as well, I didn't plan to share this, but I just got an email from my agent that I am like able to apply for a class action lawsuit because one of my first book B had been inputted into AI.
Same.
Really?
Part of that too.
Are you really?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on that?
The big one. Well, I think it's important that creators be compensated for that. Like the works that were used to train the model initially for all of these companies, I think they should have to pay multi-billion dollar payouts and settlements to the artists and to the authors. And I am happy that that is happening. And that's the core part of the model. Like now they're looking for more training data. For it to continue to grow, it needs a lot more information, which is also interesting. And then, of course, there's all the interactions that we're having with it. And you're right in that we are at the, I like how you say it's the iPod
yeah.
version of like the iPhone 17.
Right.
We were like at the very early stages, even though AI has been a field for decades now, and it's taken this long to get to this point, but we are still at the very early stages of it. Mo Gaudat, who worked at AI with Google for a long time, is a true AI expert. He talks about how we're essentially raising children. I love holding that in my mind and in my heart as I'm working with AI. The interactions that we're having now, it's like raising a child, and it matters what we're doing now and how we're treating it. That's going to determine what it becomes as a teenager and as an adult. And if we think about those of us who have done embodiment work and healing work and trauma work, right? And have been on that path, think about the impact of things that happened in childhood on
so well said
ourselves as adults. And I can think about things that happened as a kid that don't seem like a big deal as an adult looking back on it. And yet it created an entire part of my identity, or that one thing is what I can trace a mega limiting belief back to, or something that's been a big challenge in my life. So it's important that we keep that in mind. And this is why advocacy is important as well. And I feel like everyone has a different role that they play. So my role that I'm here to play at this time is not to be the legal and ethical advocate. There are brilliant people doing that work that I deeply appreciate. And that work is also important in this time. Like, we're making choices today that future generations, that our grandchildren, will not have. And that matters.
Totally matters. So beautifully stated. Speaking of the future, you know, there's this talk around AI replacing people. And like the fact that we're going to see a huge recession in the employee economy, and that we, in certain ways as entrepreneurs, and I'm going to get into AI Dream Team and all the ways we can scale our businesses in a whole new way. And I think you're going to blow people's minds today. But this idea of, I mean, major tech companies, major Fortune 500s are like laying off thousands of people as we speak because of AI. What are your thoughts on that?
I get asked about this
a
lot.
I'm sure you do.
Yes. And I want to start by saying that is a very real thing. We could see mass unemployment because of AI. I think we need to have conversations like universal basic income and what that looks like. There are different models that have been presented too. So one of the models is that we heavily tax companies that are essentially run by AI. So if you're running a huge company and you have a major profit margin that is only possible because you were able to eliminate most of the human capital that is in your that was previously in your budget, that you should have to pay a really big tax that would fund the social services that would be required if we had that scenario of mass employment. So,
wow.
I've heard some really smart people talking about that and presenting different options. we are, I love the metaphor of the dragonfly. And one of my teachers, Richard Rudd, who channeled the Gene Keys, he loves telling the story of the dragonfly. And the dragonfly starts its life as a water nymph, and it's in the water. It only knows the water. And then it has this impulse to one day climb out. It first eats a lot. So it's eating and eating and eating. And then as it is super full, it climbs up this reed and it dries out and it splits open with wings into this beautiful iridescent being that is now an air being. It only knew the water, and now it spends the rest of its life flying through the air in a completely different reality. And I don't think from our present consciousness we can even begin to grasp the future that is ahead of us. I think we can tune into the energetic undercurrents of it. Like, those undercurrents are already moving and we can be attuned to that. But where we're going is so, so different from where we've been. And once we have super intelligence, which is where AI is smarter than any human on the planet, cognitively, mentally intelligent, then beyond that point, we don't really know what comes next.
Right.
Because none of us are going to have any control over that. There are still some controls in place and checks and balances and things that can happen because we're not there yet. But once we get past that point, it's going to look very, very different. And then I think there are a lot of cascading effects of that. Now, what I like to bring people back to is that we have had so many shifts throughout the history of humanity where there was a great deal of fear. People were terrified when the steam engine train, which didn't even go that fast, the first ones, but there was a lot of terror around the steam engine train, and people felt like if you went too fast, like, women and children weren't allowed on it. They had to do these tests first. And they thought that if the human traveled that quickly, that you could just die. And when the camera was first invented, there were a lot of artists who were afraid that no one was going to want paintings anymore, that their job would become completely obsolete. Same with the printing press. There was a lot of fear over the printing press and around the dissemination of information at that time. And while this is very different, and this is a very different technology, and it is the most powerful technology that we have ever had, I do believe that we will figure it out. We always have, and it just looks very different from anything that we've had before. But I have faith, and I have a lot of hope around what's possible and where we're going, still with the awareness of the risks. And I want to name that as well, because people are like, but if you just hold this utopian picture and, you know, you're not thinking enough about the risks. Like, I'm very aware of the risks and I understand people's fears. I am so clear in my beingness that I am here to hold a frequency of hope in these times. I'm here to share what's possible and to help guide people through these times from that place of embodying hope, because I also believe that this becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we are embodying fear, we will create more of that fear. And it is so important for the visionaries, for the light workers to step up right now and to hold that frequency of hope for the times that we're moving through.
Thank you for that. Thank you. I so, so feel that from you. And I so know that the women listening feel that. This is why I wanted you on so badly, because I feel that your voice in this space is so necessary right now. And the women that are listening, I hope that you're tuning in and feeling that sense of hope as well. And there are women who are in my community who I think are embracing that. And I think that there are a lot of women that are afraid of that. And I also think that there are women that have like no idea. Like, I'm still coaching certain women that are anti-AI and aren't working with it, believe it or not.
I think there are some ways that that might be valuable in the future as well. Like when I look at business 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I think it will look very different. And it's also valid to be a person that leans all the way into something that is more of a human craft, even though I think a lot of people will be at a disadvantage if they're not integrating AI in some way.
In some way.
But I do think we have a lot of human crafting, making things with the hands. Like,
sure.
I think human, anything that's human and like can have that label, like made by a human, is going to have a lot of value actually in the future.
I actually hold that vision too. And I love that you said that. I think that women entrepreneurs mainly collectively, you know, are needing to be online, are using the tools of marketing, are creating content, copy, operations in their businesses that have, you know, traditionally felt heavier. And now that they're able to use AI, I think people are excited. And I think that they're embracing this tool, but not fully maximizing it. That was one thing that I really learned from you. You came in and spoke in the Feminine Frequency Business School. And my mind, like, you know, that emoji of like the mind being blown, like that was me on that call. I was like taking all these notes.
I remember seeing that emoji a lot in the chat.
Yes, I remember that call. Too. I remember that too. And like, cause I've just been like using AI for like research, helping me with some social media captions. Sometimes I talk to it about my husband, like if we're in a foot, no, just kidding. But like, I just felt you came in and you have, you know, taken all of this consciousness and taken all of this expertise and this, what I consider a very feminine point, like visionary point of view, and infuse it into what you're doing now. Like you've built a whole business around helping empower entrepreneurs to create their AI dream team. And I would love for you, I know we're going to give my community some tools to kind of work with at the end of this episode, so stay till the end. But your philosophy, approach, your offering, your work is to show the multidimensional possibilities inside of these tools that are so beyond just like helping you create a fucking Instagram caption. So like you can kind of talk to all of us about what is an AI dream team.
An AI dream team helps you to stay in your zone of genius first and foremost. And then working with AI on an operational level and in a really intelligent way. I believe that over the next 5 to 10 years, where we're going in business is that we all need to see ourselves as orchestrators of intelligence. We are orchestrating intelligence. Mm. And the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, he was saying just this week at their conference that in the future, NVIDIA will be a team of just, I say just 75,000 employees, which for the biggest company in the world is smaller than the biggest companies in the world have had in the past. So they will have 75,000 employees, and each one, there's about 100 AI agents for each one. So those 75,000 employees will each have about 100 agents that they are orchestrating. And this is also how we need to be thinking about our businesses as well. You are an orchestrator of intelligence. So it is your job to stay in your mission and your vision. I actually think that being somebody who is visionary and staying in that vision and then having AI do the building and do the rest, like that's what you're here for. And that's the learning path that you need to be on in this moment. So being really still and listening for what you believe you're here to do in your lifetime on this planet. What did you come here for? And it's your responsibility to be in that and then to orchestrate AI to be able to amplify that mission in the world. So you are the visionary. You stay in vision.
Mm-hmm.
And AI then goes and does the doing and brings that stream of consciousness that you hold out into the world and to the people who need it. That's the way that I look at it. Like, that is the ultimate dream team. And when I think about AI dream team and I think about where we are, I see that bigger picture and I keep that bigger picture in mind, knowing that we also have some technological constraints with where we are now, but we keep getting these massive leaps in progress because AI is now helping AI to evolve. So we're
so
getting
meta.
It's so wild. Like, we're getting shorter and shorter periods of time between these massive model upgrades because AI is helping to upgrade itself. So that leaves us with the tools that we have now, which I believe in working with AI as team members. So this is AI Dream Team. We work with AI to fill specific roles in your business. And with tools like Claude Cowork now, or we have a new feature, Claude Dispatch, where you can actually like text in something that you need done. Claude Cowork allows you to do a lot more timed automation. So you can set it to be doing tasks for you at certain times. Like, it can be working while you sleep. And we're getting more and more of these autonomous agentic features, which will allow us to do so much more. But it's important that we be working with AI for roles inside of our business. And what's really exciting about that is, in the past, like, think about what it took, because we've both built companies from the ground up.
Yeah.
Think about how it is when you have the vision and you are one person.
Right.
Like, it's you and you're like, this is what I want to build. I have this idea. I have to bring this to life. And then you start with maybe your first hire because you're working with a limited budget and you're bootstrapping
been
this
there,
dream that you have.
That.
Right? Like, we've been there. And there's a slower progress that's made there just because it can take a lot to build the momentum in those early stages. But with AI, you can now hire, right, quote unquote, hire AI for very specific roles in that business. And now you can have a marketing department and you can have a finance department and you can have AI helping you with operations so that you're staying in your zone of genius and you can grow so much faster.
That's crazy.
Like, there's so much potential in that. And anybody can now have the team of like a multi-million dollar business without the price tag.
Okay, mind blown emoji again. So let's let's break this down. Can we like do a hypothetical?
Yeah.
So say I'm a startup solopreneur, one woman show. I'm in coaching. Just use that as an example because it's low hanging fruit. And I'm in holistic health coaching, let's just say that. And I want to create one-on-one program. I want to create a group program. And then like, I want to sell them all into a retreat I want to do next year. Okay. And I know that I'm the visionary and I can create the program. Like, I can really understand who I want to serve. I can name my target client. I've got a clear vision of my brand, what I want the brand to look like, sound like, feel like. And I can do a bit of product design and product development. I want to create a marketing department now with AI. I know you're going to talk probably about prompting and all of that. And I know we're not looking at a screen and getting too technical here, but like, how can one think about building that? What's the embodied approach as much as the tactical approach, if we can break that down?
Yeah. Can I start at the beginning?
Please.
So I'm going to go through sort of the path of beginner, intermediate, and more advanced so that everyone listening, no matter where you are on your AI journey,
perfect,
you'll probably take something away from what I'm about to say.
Great.
But it'll support with the people who are maybe in the earlier stages of their journey as well. I think foundationally, it is still very valuable to understand prompt engineering. I love prompting through voice. So I'll use an app called Whisperflow that I've been talking about for years. It's amazing. Like, you can then dictate pretty much everything across apps. And I love doing dictation. And I'm going to circle back to that. So I'm just planting that seed now. And even when you're doing dictation, it's still valuable to have some type of prompt framework to understand the information that AI is needing from you in order to produce the kind of output that you can use in your business and that will help you to actually grow. So I have a prompt framework called the 3 C's, and we're going to put all of this into a guide. So Jessica's going to share this with you in the show notes. You don't have to like be writing notes right now. If you're in the car driving, right, Don't worry, you're going to get all of this. And the 3 C's are clarity, context, and cues. So you need to tell AI the role that it's playing and the goal that it is trying to achieve with you for that particular task that you're working on. Context is the bigger picture. So just like how you wouldn't have a team member come into your business and expect them to just dive right in and know what they're doing, like you haven't told them about your mission, your business plan, your marketing plan, like they don't have any of that context, but they're going to now start taking over your Instagram. No, there's a training process. So the context that you give AI is really important as well. It needs to know the bigger picture, who you are, who you serve, what your offer is. Cues, I still see a lot of people miss. And cues is the 3rd C in the prompt framework. And cues are examples and samples and documentation that you give AI that helps it do its job better. And cues for me is everything from a brand voice guide to your ideal client avatar, even to deep research reports that you can generate with AI. I do this all the time to add an extra layer of training to make sure that I'm training AI to be the absolute best at filling that particular role. It can go even beyond what I know and understand. As someone who's built a multi-7-figure company, I like to train AI to be thinking so much further ahead than where I'm even at and what I've grown to myself. So
wow,
you can upload a lot of different cues that can support it in doing its job. Now,
so
when, like when you start doing that and you see, okay, I want to create a 30-day content plan for this coaching business that I have. I want my 30-day content plan to be something that grows my audience. Let's say I want a really audacious growth number. Like I want to grow my audience by 50% in a 30-day period. I want to have the highest engagement I've ever had, and AI is going to create that whole plan. So when you do that as a prompt first and you see, okay, this really works, it gives me a great result because you followed the clarity, the context, and the cues. Now it's time to actually start to systematize that. And you can do that with a custom GPT and
ChatGPT. Which you taught me about.
Or a project in Claude.
Yep,
and now we have a skills layer in Claude. And skills is an amazing feature. I won't dive too deep into it, but skills are like the SOPs in your business. And you can train Claude now on skills that will apply across all your projects and all of your prompts. And it's really next level. I'm doing some incredible things right now with skills. But when you have that project set up for your content creator, now you're able to feed it the deep research as well, where deep research for a content creator, for me, especially for something like a 30-day content strategy, I'm going to use deep research in Gemini or in Claude or in ChatGPT to go out and research what is working right now, today, for content. Like go and research the algorithm, go and research the top performing posts in my niche on all of Instagram.
Really? You can tell it to do that?
Yes.
Wow.
And then it's going to give you a really comprehensive report. So I use deep research a lot. It takes a little bit of time. I ran a research report last week that took it 3 hours to do because it went and it looked at thousands of sites, thousands of profiles. It read like thousands of pages. So it can take a little bit of time, but then I use that as training data to take it further than I can even go myself.
Of course.
So we start to train and systematize by using these features like skills, setting up the project. So that would be the next layer. And that's what we teach inside of AI Dream Team. We teach you how to actually set up a project to fill a role in your business. What I want you doing as that coach, as the holistic coach that is working with AI to be growing your coaching business, is I want you to lean all the way into the things that AI can't replace, all the human parts of your business. I keep seeing people create these AI clones of themselves, and they make an AI coach that's like trained on them doing their coaching sessions. And that can be a supplement to a program that you offer. But I want to see you actually doing the human things, doing the coaching, doing the relational things. Like, because my AI dream team handles so many things, I do more things like send voice notes to my clients, and I lean more into the relational elements of my business.
For sure.
So lean into the human parts and let AI do things at more of the strategic, operational, tasking level. And then start to automate that. Now, you also mentioned curriculum, like this coach would want to create a curriculum and have programs. Inside of AI Dream Team, I actually give our students access to my AI Dream Team. And one of my AI Dream Team members is an embodied curriculum developer that's trained on meeting people across different learning styles, creating really experiential learning experiences based on my years and years of being in online education.
Right.
So you'd be able to work with my curriculum designer in AI Dream Team to actually build out your whole curriculum as well.
Wow, babe. That's amazing.
So that's where I would start.
Okay.
That's a starting point. And again, we're going to put some of these things in a guide.
Yeah, and
for
everyone
you,
just needs to sign up for your AI Dream Team program, because it's so insane what you've created and how amazing it is positioned and how much value you get for what you spend. It's next level. So we'll include everything in the show notes. But I want to just, can I use myself as an example?
Yes.
From something I learned from you?
Okay.
Because after you came in and spoke at FFBS, I went into Claude and I created a bunch of GPTs, like across so many different aspects of my business. But I created a GPT for my Instagram specifically. And I'm curious to know your perspective, but I actually have a question behind this part of this conversation. But I uploaded my book, like the whole manuscript for the light work. So it like knew my writing and knew my voice. I put in a bunch of data on my target avatar, my core client. I put up my best performing captions and content. I put in my best performing emails, like actual emails that I've written. So it really knew my voice. It knew my audience. It knew my core messaging. I've also done a ton of my own research, and I probably do it a little differently than you do, but I study a lot of creators online who are experts and teachers on trends and like hooks and narratives and carousels and maximizing stories, just like a ton of education that I've consumed from the platform. I'm just using Instagram as an example. I use it for different, but I just feel like this is a relatable example. And I started doing this, Natalie, in the last 3 to 4 months. My content has like performing better than it's ever performed. Now, granted, we were talking before the interview, I'm like having more fun and I'm giving less fucks. And I think that's a large part of doing that, of that result. But one, my time is more efficient. Like I totally feel so much lighter in creating it and more aligned, because it has a completely different effect based on every, before I was just voice noting it in chats. Like, I have this idea for this. Give me a couple hooks for this. Now it's all integrated into a GPT that I learned from you. So I would love to know your score on that, one. And two, my other follow-up question to that is, you said something on my call. You're like, can always tell when it's written by AI. Mm-hmm. You think you can't. You think you can get around it, but I can always tell. And you said that. And I was like, fuck, what could she tell? What do I need to know? So like, one, give me my score. And two, give us what are AI giveaways in copy? If you can kind of break that down.
Yeah, AI is not going to replace your creativity.
Right.
It's not a substitute for that. But being lazy will definitely
totally
destroy your creativity.
Totally. And kind
and
of your
ability
brand
to grow with AI. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, every day I'm seeing things that are just copy paste from ChatGPT, and I can tell. And every model goes through we go through these iterations with the models where they have their own little orcs. So at the time that we're recording this right now, one of the big things that I'm seeing a lot of, this is actually from both chat and from Claude, it's using the word quietly a lot.
Okay.
Okay, so it's like, what I'm quietly noticing behind the scenes, or the quiet truth is, or the quiet part. And I'm like, where did this come from? It's a newer model thing. I'm sure it'll be phased out in the next model, but I'm seeing that a lot in the content. There's the M dashes, of course. I think a lot of people know about that. There's the really short and choppy sentence structures.
Yes.
Like, not this, period, not this, period, this, period. Or like, it's not X, it's Y.
Contrasting sentences.
Yes, the contrasting sentences and negation sentences, like where it's always saying the example of what it's not before giving an example of what it is.
Right.
So we see a lot of things like that. And then I feel like there's also there's an energy, and I think Claude actually does a much better job with anything that's human, anything that's like marketing and content related. Claude will sound and feel a lot more human, and you still need to be training it on you. One of the things I love doing, and having a book is amazing, because I think for people like us, when we've written books and we've written so many things ourselves, we can train it on our voice in that way. One of the other things I love to do is I call it the walk and talk ritual. And you just walk and you talk to AI and you ask it to interview you. You can just say like, hey, I want you to help get to know me better. Ask me 20 questions about my life that will allow you to get to know me on a deep level and get to know my beliefs, my quirks, like what I've been through, the things that have had the biggest impact on my life. And you're just going to walk and have a conversation with, let's say it's Claude, and then you're going to take the transcript of that whole conversation. And I think you should do this in your voice. So use dictation just so that it's your speaking language. And then you're going to upload transcripts like that into these projects that you create in Claude. And that's really valuable, especially when you're somebody who doesn't have like years and years of books and content that you can be uploading. So that's a tip that to give people. And I think your next level is starting to work with something like Claude Cowork or Claude Code to create more of an agentic system and to have AI work for you a little bit more autonomously. But even if you're not doing that, I think that research mode and agent mode would be helpful for you, because it can go through, like right now, your Instagram, which has been growing really quickly. It can go through and look at exactly what is creating the engagement.
Cool.
And it can give you an amazing data breakdown. And then you can always be working off of that new data. So I'm sure you track this anyway with your Instagram,
My insights, analytics, yeah.
Your insights, your analytics. And this is just another layer of that where it can go through all your content and then look at other creators that are like you and then give you a report of everything that's working and not working. And that can inform your next 30 days of content.
Mind blown. So that's your score for me.
You're doing amazing. Yeah, in terms of scoring,
I learned
from
you.
You are showing up so consistently. And one of the big things with the algorithm right now is creating content that people want to share. They want to send it to somebody else. And I feel like you do a lot of identity content where like maybe some people will see it and they'll be like, who is this woman? Like,
she's crazy.
She's kind of crazy. But the people who relate to you are like, fuck yeah, I found my person.
Yeah.
And they want to send that to the other crazy people that they know.
Yes.
Right?
For sure.
So they want to like send it to a friend. So you get a lot of people sharing your content with other people. Right. Those things matter a lot. And so AI can help you to create that perfect call to action that's going to help you with whatever the present day algorithm is
so
elevating.
Amazing. One other thing I wanted to just bring up, just so I feel like it's a would be helpful, is you mentioned the word quietly. I feel like there are certain terms that AI consistently uses, like performance. I've heard broken is another one. What's empire? Like, my point is, I'm writing my third book and I am writing my third book and I'm using words once in a while like that. And I have an amazing editor. Her name is Rhea. She's been on my show. And she's like, you have to be careful of using certain words as AI flags now, as like an actual writer.
Yeah.
So how do we mitigate with that?
Yeah. So with a book, one of the things I would recommend, and this is the skills feature layer inside of Claude. So skills, think of these as the standard operating procedures in your business, where in our businesses, when we are running companies, the size of the companies that we run, we have to operationalize things. And one of the ways that we do that is by having a step-by-step process for everything that we do, right? Like we have these SOPs and it's like, if you're going to publish an Instagram post, you have to go through this process. And you can have those SOPs as skills in Claude. An amazing skill to create in Claude. I have something called a humanization editor that I've created as a skill. And it's basically an SOP.
This is an AI Dream Team.
I just did a skills training in AI Dream Team, and we're going to be adding more skills because I love this feature. So by the time people are listening to this, I've probably already made that update. The humanization editor, it's set up as a skill in Claude, and it will act as an editor. So it can go through anything that you're writing or anything that you put in Claude, and you can just have it be more at that editor level. So if you are writing the book and you're actually writing the book, but you want Claude's help with copy editing, for example, you can have a Claude skill set up as your copy editor, and it can be trained on humanization is something that I put into my prompts for content or any kind of project or GPT I'm creating for content. I will put in humanization where it will only include an M dash if it's like, so elegant to have an M dash in that place. It will make sure that it reviews to make sure something sounds really human and sounds and feels like me. And I give it a checklist of what that actually means. And then it will go through and it will edit what I'm giving it. So that's a way that you could work through the book while you're still writing it, but you could have it help you with the editing so that you're, if you have certain words and you can give that as a list of like, these are all the words that need to be filtered out because it sounds too much like AI or it sounds too robotic, it can go through and it can copy edit those things.
So I'm obsessed.
Skills. The great thing about skills is that they apply across all of your projects. So if you put in a humanization editor, anytime Claude creates anything for you, whether it's in the main thread or it's inside your marketing project or your content creator project, those skills, they supersede, they sit above all of that. So it will just apply to everything that you're creating. And there's so much that you can do with skills.
I didn't say at the beginning of this conversation that every time I'm with you is an upgrade and I'm like smart. I wasn't saying to like blow smoke. Like it's fucking true.
I love our time.
I love our time. I love you so much. I feel like there is so much more. I'm just like mindful of time. I could ask you, I want people to go take action from today's conversation. I hope y'all were like pen and paper. And if you're not driving in your car, come back and listen to this one. Take notes. I'm going to be. I really think what you're bringing to the market, Natalie, with this conversation is both so incredibly upgrading from an aptitude and like skills, intellectual perspective of how we make the most of this technology with soul and consciousness. And I think that intersection is where we will thrive with this amazing gift I feel we've been given. I get so lit up by this, and I'm not a tech girl. I've always been a little anxious with softwares and technologies, and this lights my soul on fire because what I think it, to your point, gives us more space to be the visionaries and to use our time where only we can, which is in relating, which is in the heart, which is in connection. And being the, you called it the, what do you call it? The original intelligence, the
orchestrating the orchestrators of intelligence.
I love that. Like the OI.
Yeah. Like the gift of our time in this era is that I think we get to really dive into what it means to be human and to reconsider what it means to be human. I don't think we've ever I don't know if we've ever got that chance because we've spent so much time surviving. We've spent so much time working. Still, the majority of people spend most of the time in their lives working. And I wonder if we are orchestrating intelligence and if we're creating new systems, what does that mean for us? And what does it even mean to be human? I think it's the most powerful question that we can be contemplating right now.
Well, thank you so much for coming on my show and making us contemplate so many things, but especially that. I love that you just brought that here. We're going to leave a link in the show notes.
Yes.
Can you talk about what they're going to get?
Yes. So if you want to have a guide that helps you to implement what I've been talking about and start building your AI dream team, start working with AI to fill roles in your business, and whether that's your marketing, your content, your operations, we've got a guide for you. So you can check that out, download it from the show notes and take your first steps toward building a really solid AI dream team.
Amazing. I recommend everyone do that. We as a business have signed up for it. All of my students in FFBS have it. Like it's a game changer. There's nothing on the market like it. Okay, I have a few final quick fire questions for you that I ask every guest.
Good note. Quick.
I suck at them too.
Really get into something when I'm asked.
Yeah, so. I can tell.
Thank you.
And I love that about you. And I'm the same way. So let's try. Actually, I think you'll kill this. So do you have a favorite business book? I'm so curious your book stack.
My book stack has shifted so much over the years. I think recently the 10x is easier than 2x. I recommend to a lot of entrepreneurs because I think that kind of upgrade in thinking is really helpful.
Beautiful.
And I also have to say Gene Keys. It's not a business book, but I think the more you learn about your own, whether it's human design or like who you are, what your mission is, what you're here for. Like that is the ultimate business upgrade
for me. I could not agree more. And I love him. And that book changed my life. Well, my second question was, do you have a favorite spiritual book?
Oh, Gene Keys, I go back to again and again. I love the Radiant Sutras.
I have that book.
And I just love the simplicity of those practices. And I just love reading the sutra and doing the practice. Yeah, love that one.
Woo here. So we're going to go a little woo-woo. So you have a favorite or a particular goddess, deity, archetype, angel, spirit guide that you feel a relationship to or work with or have connected with in the past?
Connected with many. I would say that I feel like I have a whole spirit team, spirit army around me. I've felt that since I was a kid. And I had some health issues as a kid, and like all those beings and the guides showed up in that space. So there isn't one, though. There's not like one that I feel like is above the other ones.
I love that.
Yeah. Feels like a whole team.
We all have a spirit team.
Yeah.
Like a team. Like
yeah.
A council.
A lot.
Like a lot.
A very large council.
I've seen mine in a few ceremonies. Breathwork ceremonies, actually. No medicine involved. Sidebar. Next question. Do you believe?
Keep it short.
And I'm like, keep it short. I'm the one that's
could do a whole like podcast episode about every single one of these things.
It's very, very true. Especially the next one. Do you believe in aliens?
Oh, yeah, that's a whole episode.
Of course.
I know that's your answer.
Of course.
Yeah.
I know you do.
I mean, so much more I want to say.
I want you back on like part two and we'll just talk about aliens. That would be an amazing, actually, interview. I'm serious. Okay, last question. What does it mean to you, Natalie, to be a co-creator right now of the new Earth rising?
I go back to this OI being the orchestrator of intelligence. And I see myself as a bridge between so many different worlds. The things that I'm very mindful of is that we're more connected than ever, but also more lonely than ever. We're more efficient than ever, but also more burnt out than ever. And I feel like these are the things that we need to be mindful of as we're creating new systems and structures. Like we need human connection. We need sustainable ways of building sustainability, regeneration across our businesses and lives feels really essential to this, if we're calling it new earth and these new paradigms that we're creating. So that's a big one. And staying really connected to the truth of who I am, who we are, while also co-creating with this technology and these intelligences that we have access to. It's like this grand orchestration that we get to be in right now to create really big shifts to how we live, how we be, how we build things, how we are as humans.
Natalie, I'm really happy I'm on the planet at the same time as you.
Aww,
I love you so much.
I love you.
You're so brilliantly heart-led. And there's just like such a profound gift in what you gave my audience today on so many levels. It's not just the, how do we use Claude? It's like the big picture that I really believe is like your legacy. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for offering that beautiful tool. We're going to have my audience go check that out, for being a part of my world inside of my community and for being here. And like, again, emoji, mind blown. Like that's exactly how I feel right now. So I know everyone does too. So thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Have a beautiful rest of your week, and we'll see you on the next episode.